musicians, thank you so much. What? Just enjoy the musicians. Don't you just enjoy? What would we do if we had to hear each other only singing a cappella? That'd be all right, right? But sometimes it's nice to not have your voice singled out. At least for mine. God bless each one of you. Good to be here. Send greetings from the family, and of course, the kiddos are over at Grandpa Carlin, so they're probably at church, except for Isaac, so they're probably in church down in a Good Shepherd. God bless each one of you, and excited for the testimonies come back from the camp. So just want to keep lifting them up in prayer. As I know, I'm sure it's going to be quite a battle, as it already has been a prelude. But we know that anytime that someone goes into a new ministry, a mission field, whether it's just a small segue, usually there's a battle beforehand in the spiritual, right, in order for it to happen in the natural first. And I've heard of people is that they duke it out with the devil before they go in physically into that location. So I believe that by God's grace that the battle's already over, that with all that was going on with Brother Jason, just so amazed to hear the testimony of NFA, but if you went online and watched his testimony at his church, just if you can look it up. They had a testimony service, and then Jason took about, and Jamie took about 15 minutes at the end to just tell the story of the miracle that happened, and there was spiritual warfare there. He actually physically saw things with his eyes come into the room and heard a voice and all this. So, but the end result, spoiler alert, is that that the Lord had victory and it has victory over that. So praise God for that. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. I feel like I'm forgetting something else. I just love the song service tonight. It was just such a blessing. Let's just go into the Word. Let's go to James chapter 1 and this is such an interesting chapter. There's so much. Every time I read it, I get something else out of it. And James is such a doer, and such a man of God. Let's just all stand. And we know this is about doing and about being complete in Christ. And just like to take a thought tonight, away from vanity, thinking and doing His good pleasure. And so we'll just define what that actually means. But just kind of put your scope on it. We're just talking about, just going to jump into a little bit about vanity, because I'm learning about vanity, and it's always been something that we don't, even if I type it into my phone, it doesn't suggest the word vanity. It suggests a different word because we don't use that word very much these days. And so it's used all the time in the Bible. So does anybody want to understand a little bit more about vanity tonight? What it means? I mean, I am in my 30s, almost 40s, and I'm just still learning, Lilia, about what vanity means. So if we can think about that a little bit. And before we read, because I want you to put on your understanding on vanity a little bit. Vanity means, I was reading a exploration of the ancient Hebrew, and it actually means a thought or action that is for an improper use or purpose. A thought or an action that is for an improper use or purpose. And so let's just read verse 11. We're just going to read through the end of the chapter. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So again, this is a picture of vanity, but we'll dive into it a little bit more. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And actually, we're gonna come back to that, but let's just go down to verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but is deceived his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of the word. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you'd open this up to us this morning. Open our eyes of understanding, Lord, this evening, excuse me. And I pray that you would just give us a blessing tonight. We thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Just wanted to give I'd preached the other night talking about Lot's wife a little bit. And I just wanted to make sure to give disclosure that usually when we hear the story about Lot's wife, we hear about that her heart was turned toward the city, and that's why she looked back. And I had taken the topic just to make sure I'm clear on that. I was saying, making the point is for us as leaders of the home, for making sure that, you know, before she was turned into stone, that she was the leader, that as Lot was the leader of the home, he pitched his tent towards Sodom first. He put his family in Sodom, and then didn't go immediately up to the mountain. God's provided a way to get out of the city, right? And how that, because of that, I was making the point is that perhaps, you know, could it be possible that that's why her heart was turned towards Sodom? Now we know the prophet of God did say that, you know, we know the scope of the lesson that he was teaching was that it was her heart was towards Sodom, and it was in her heart, and her and everything, her family, everything that she left in Sodom. So I hope I didn't confuse anybody or say something that was out of step. I think just like Brother Branham said, we could talk about a blade of grass for a month and not even touch the surface of it as a study. And so is how many lessons there can be learned from every story in the Bible. We'll just give an overview a little bit. I'm just going to use the whiteboard because it's the day is long, but praise God, he's going to give us grace tonight. So this is so neat for me because how many people in here tonight think in terms of black and white, right and wrong, normally? Jesse's nodding his head. Josh is not. And that's good because I live with Nate Painter, and I would be like, this is fact. This is not. And he's like, no, it isn't. And I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? This is right. And he's like, and I was like, doesn't it bother that you don't know exactly, like, this is right and this is not? And he's like, well, I figure if the Lord, you know, will tell me, you know, then it's the right thing. But if not, I'm just going to keep going this way. And I know that he wasn't, you know, hell-bent when he was saying that. Some people are just more like that, and some people need to know. So, but what's neat is that really hit home with me is that if we look at we have God. I'm going to do this in three sections here. And we have self. And we have devil. Right? And so we have light, right? You know, there's the light, right, that we're talking about. Light, and there's darkness. Darkness. And then, and there's, you know, the in-between, you know, here we are in between that. So we have good. over here, right? We have evil over here. And it's interesting, if I could propose that we put vanity in this middle spot. And this is so interesting to me, because if we look up the word good, if you do a Hebrew word study, the word good, and actually I want to kind of give myself a little margin here on this side of every one of these, so that we remember. But this would mean function. Oops, I need to go down one. Function. So function, and we're going to get into what that means. And then this would be dysfunction. It's a really squeaky marker. And then this would be improper function. So this is where we get caught up so many times in just knowing the will of God, right? Is because we're wanting, well, it's not a salvation issue or it's not something that's, you know, really right or wrong, so it's okay. A lot of times we think. And it's true. Sometimes it's true. But then improper. And so we think about this too is how many like charts and graphs? I do. So then we see that this actually means, and we're going to put his on all of these. And then what's neat about function is it actually means intention. Or purpose. Wow. Purpose. And it's amazing. So then we could look at this is my, right? My intentions. And then, of course, is Satan's, his intentions. Right? Because he has intentions for us too that we don't want. You know, sometimes we forget that he has intentions for us. And he has a purpose for us. Just kind of laying the ground. This is our lens to look at the service tonight through. My purpose. This is self-purpose. This is what I want to do no matter where, you know, what God thinks about it. Is my purpose. And then, of course, the devil thinks he has a purpose for us, but praise God, that's not true. Because we're called according to his purpose, right? Amen? Okay, so that kind of gives us a lens to look at through a little bit. But let's talk about a little bit about function. This is so neat because function we're going to give is about, I need two whiteboards, is about, I'm going to say function, I'm going to put that one here. It actually is occupation. Purpose, this is actually what it means. If we can use the word organ, because it's actually part of a larger group of things, as an organism, kind of like we are all part of a body, or a part. And then lastly, it means to operate and serve. And I hope you're having your spiritual caps on for that, because this is so neat. Because, again, all things work together. Now, let's look at a regular scripture that we hear all the time. All things work together for the good. Oh, excuse me. I didn't even put good here. For the good. Let's just read it. I can't believe I'm misquoting this. So things become too common and then you forget. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And stay in James, if you want to keep your hand in there. But isn't that neat? Now we say good is intention, purpose, occupation, our operation, our serving. It's our job. So that everything that God has is working towards our purpose, towards our function, for his intentions for us, for him to serve through us, if you can say that. And versus self-serving, right? Self-purpose, self-intention. And it's interesting. If we can do this too, this is gray. This would be great. In the Hebrew, for the study of it, it talks a little bit about how that it means a shadow, or it means a fog or a mist. Vanity does, as Job would talk about it. It's very unclear. We can even say unclear. And that's why, again, it really just made me excited, because I don't have a complete, totally answer on this. I'm just discovering this. But this is so neat, because I've always been mystified by the middle portion, the unclear part, because I want to have light or darkness, but that's just how God's had it set up. But we know we have the Spirit of Truth, which to rightly divide between light and darkness, because there's a temptation in there, right, to go towards darkness in the gray area, right? Usually the gray area doesn't bring us towards the light. We're not like, wow, you know, it's not a salvation issue. Oh, wow, I learned more about the Lord. You know, usually don't see that as much. So now that we kind of went into that a little bit, let's just dive into what the scripture has to say. I love how the Lord's Prayer says, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's our goal, is for his will to be done. We can see that it's his will. I'm going to have to just use this a little bit here. It's his will versus our will, self-will, right? Actually, we're going to put it up here. God's will. And the devil's will, right? And his intentions, for us. And what this is nice is this is such a good key to finding the will of God. So we see that there's a process. We're in process, right? As Brother Don always says, you know, there's the Alpha and the Omega, but we're in the between. So in process, how are we staying walking in the light? And we're going to go back to James. For chapter 1, because this is something so interesting, because let's go down to because we already talked about verse 11, about the grass is withered and the burning heat, and just as a rich man will fade away in his ways, and it's this vanity, you know, it's like the grass grows, and then you got to mow it, and it's vanity and vexation of spirit, because it's just going to grow again, right? It's just these things over, right, Seth? You know, you have to keep growing, you have to keep mowing, and in 30 years, you're going to be still mowing the grass, right? Until you do get an association where they just mow it for you. Like, what?
Or a son.
Yeah, that's right, you can get a son, Seth. And Zoe. But now, okay, now we're going to go into the gray. We're going to go into the fog. A little bit into temptation. In verse 12, of James 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But then here's the verse, the key verse. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. There's self right there, right? Self-absorption. Our intentions, our purpose. Usually we're like, you know, that just like Eve, you know, that she saw it was good to the eyes and good to the taste. And she saw. It's what she wanted. Tempted her, and she was drawn away of her own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, now this is a progression towards evil, it bringeth forth sin, and when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So see how that gray area in the middle, right? Her self-will, or our self-will, tempts us when it's gray and unclear, and it brings us towards darkness and evil and death as we see. There's death. And nobody wants death, but it's amazing how that we get caught in that gray area and don't realize it's a direction. It's like Brother Branham says about how the parable that Jesus tells about how that they were cast into outer darkness and there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And he says right now, by their choices, they are casting themselves into outer darkness now. So it's a self-fulfilling act that every time they do that, well, they gnash their teeth at the word. They are always casting themselves into outer darkness rather than into walking in the light. So it just makes sense. Their ultimate reward would be then death and darkness and groping in the darkness. And so it's important that we know how to walk in the light, and how to stay away from vanity. I'm just going to give that the definition for vanity again: an action or thought that is vain or for an improper use. And another word for it is empty. Let's go into God's will. Let's go back into the light again. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the pleasure of his will. So again, it's not our pleasing, right? It's God's pleasing. It's what he wants to do, his pleasure. And we want to be pleasing unto him, not unto ourself. Self-will, self-vanity, right? We know that vanity is also, it's not humble, right? Zoe, is it humble? What is it? Do you remember with the other word instead of being humble? Proud. We're gonna go over to blue because this is wearing out. Proud. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So vain is proud, and we know it's empty. There's nothing at the end of it. It's just like a black hole. And versus humble is God's way. It's God's good. He can work with the humble. Philippians 2:13, one of our favorite verses. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So remember, it's action or thought that is improper. Versus his thoughts, right? Bring his actions that are proper for our purpose, what he created us for. It's like I've always said, that if I had a hammer, and I had the inventor of the hammer with me, say you're the inventor of the hammer, and you're like, I was trying to figure out something for Brother Josh to pound nails into a board, that he could pound the precise right into the trim board, trim nails, or he could hit a big a big nail, it would still be enough where there would be some preciseness, and yet something that you could hold in your hand that's not going to give you frostbite. So I got to make that out of wood. And you have all this intention, and you can't. You're like, I can't make the head of it out of wood because it'll be broken in a couple days. So I got to make that out of something strong like steel. And you're just thinking about that, and you make it. And you're like, I got to make it last because no one's going to want to buy it, right? And then I take that hammer and I start dusting shelves with it. So I go over it with a hammer now, and I'm dusting picture frames, and I'm trying to get the dust off of it. I'm going over to windows to try to clean the windows, and maybe I'm going over to scrape my windshield. I'm using the back of the thing, and you're like, no, that's for pulling out nails, and I'm scraping the window. What am I doing? I'm using it for the improper purpose. Your will was for it to be for something that was to pound nails and pull nails out. It's just like God, how he has our lives, and he made us for a specific purpose, and it's not for our own bad idea of what we're for. And if that hammer could speak, it would say, hey, I'm meant for a purpose. And like the man from Chariots of Fire, right? He says, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And his pleasure. Now you can say, what? Run? That's his pleasure? And he was a preacher too, you know? And so, or like Brother Branham, how he was like crying because he missed the eye on the squirrel, right? And he's like, Lord, why am I this way? And he says, I made you that way. That's part of my intention, how he made you that way. So that's part of his good pleasure, is that he made Brother Branham, he had to be precise right in the middle of the crosshairs every time, because he's going to be the prophet of the age, and we're going to have over 1,200 servants stored up of God making him that way for that occupation, that purpose, as a part of the whole body of Christ to operate and serve in that way specific. And so what's neat is it's so freeing when you realize that God made Josh a certain way, and that's exactly the way God wants him. Or God made Sister Laura, Brother David, that way exactly. And when we're dissatisfied in some ways, we wonder, Lord, am I doing your purpose? Because when I'm doing your purpose, like that hammer ringing out, that's when we feel his pleasure, is when we know we're in his purpose, right? And when it's his pleasure, right? And that's okay. I used to think, you know, I love polishing things. I love making things look new again. I love making pianos sound good again. I love restorative work. I love organization. I love, you know, you can think about your own self, of the things that you love that are righteous. And God made you that way for a purpose. And that's wonderful. Let's go into a little bit about vanity again. David says in Psalms 39, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before me. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And so we don't trust in that. We don't trust in that emptiness of life in our own self, in our own best state. David says again, I hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Again, it's trusting in words of men. Did you hear the news? They said we're going to get through it today. I love Psalms chapter 2. Why does the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing? They're like, I know how we can fix the problem. And we always hear this. Oh, they got a new stimulus package. They're going to fix the problem. It's all vanity. It's all empty ideas, right? Ecclesiastes talks lots about vanities. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now we see that's not the works of God, right? That's the works of man, in a general sense. Proverbs 31, favor is deceitful And beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And that's that, again, the inward beauty, right? You know, how many times we hear about, remember how Brother Branham saw that beautiful young lady before he was married, and he says, oh, she had like eyes like a dove, and she was just, he's like, oh, I couldn't even hardly breathe. And then he saw her smoking a cigarette, and he's like, oh, all that beauty was nothing. It was just empty. There was no point of it, because she didn't respect God. And how she's like, oh, you don't go do dancing, you don't do this, you don't do that. Well, what kind of guy are you? What kind of sissy are you? Right? And that was not true beauty, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 2. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. I was trying to find the verse. There's a verse in the scripture, I believe it was King Solomon. He talked about how working your whole life and laying it up for another, for them to spend on their own. It is in Ecclesiastes. I was trying to find it in there. And he's like, this is vanity and vexation of spirit or of soul. And I was thinking about that movie, if you've ever seen The Ultimate Gift. And this is such a neat story time lesson, is how that the grandfather was looking for any one of his children or his grandchildren that he could give his inheritance to, because he'd worked his whole life for this inheritance, and he knew it would just be vanity, it would be empty, it would be improper for him to use all his money for now for them to just go squander it. How many remember Tom Thumb's story? How they all of a sudden disappeared. All of the Tom Thumbs disappeared. Gas stations. Nate Painter worked for Tom Thumb. He said that the parents had worked and labored, and there was like at least 50, if not more, like 80 locations. And as soon as they got in their inheritance, they started selling off the gas stations and buying sports cars and just blowing money left and right. And they were doing it for vanity and pride and improper use. Just whatever. Why are you spending this $1 million? Oh, I don't know. It's great. It's unclear, but I'm just going to do it. Right? Because it was what they wanted to do. It was vanity. It was empty. And how that, you know, I'm sure was, it made, if the parents were alive, I'm sure they'd be heartbroken to see that they, the will of their life wasn't for to spoil their kids rotten and for them, their whole legacy to be destroyed be forgotten forever. And how that we all know the story of, if you've watched The Ultimate Gift, of how that he found a grandson, and I believe we identify with this grandson, how that he says, if I can just sow my intentions, my will, my values, my character, my name in this young man, then I can give him all of my inheritance, and he'll do the right thing with it, and it won't be vanity. It will be according to my good pleasure. And we know how he would put him, all he did, it was James 1, as he put him through trials. You know, drop him off at his uncle's ranch, and here's how to dig a post. Here's stack a post. See you at sundown. And how, after whining and complaining, he said, he found the satisfaction in hard work, and how his grandfather said, now I give you the gift of hard work, and how he gave him all these gifts, these characters, so that way he could use the inheritance. And how we see that with the Lord is that he doesn't want us to live a vain life, because he's going to give us an inheritance one day. We're going to rule and reign with him. So that, again, it's that ruling with character. All right, we're getting on for time. So again, just to give a recap, again, we see the law of the Lord is perfect, as we sung tonight. One of my favorite songs, Converting the Soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Let's read it. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to quote it wrong, and Derek's going to give me an eyebrow, and that'll be the end of it, as he should. Psalms 19. We see the difference between the vain, empty, foggy, unclear, double talk, double-minded, wickedness of this world versus the clear goodness of his marvelous light, his marvelous pleasure for us. In Psalms 19, in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. We know that means complete. Again, vanity is empty, and perfect is whole. It's complete. You don't need to add anything to it. Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It's not mixed with dark and lightness. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Oh, you ever do something in your life, we'll just pause for a second, and it could be like we're talking about, I feel it when I run, I feel his pleasure. And you, it's like you're in that scripture right there. You're like, that was righteousness. That was wonderful. Getting home from work, working for your family, or moms teaching your children, teaching your grandchildren the word of the Lord, you know, giving them that family altar of prayer and devotions. It's not how hard is it to do devotions every day with kids? I mean, even when I'm home, just saying, we're going to put God first. We're going to put my intentions for today is, let's just get this thing streamlined. Let's get the kids going on school. Let's, you know, let's get them educated. Let's get them, you know, fed. But that's vanity without having first his purpose, them walking in the light, going forward in Christ first. And that's why Satan, again, in his purpose, is to create a dysfunctional day, to not get us started out right, walking in the light, in our purpose. Any motivational speaker you hear says that the first thing you need to do to have a miracle day is have a miracle morning. You need to get up and don't touch your phone for half an hour. Why? Because the phone has a purpose. It has an intention by itself. All those devices and applications and media, social media, is just to pull you in and whatever, get your attention, and how many times have we got off our phone after 20 minutes or 30 minutes where we're like, I didn't even know why I was on my phone. I don't even know what I was doing. Where can I get back to my purpose? So they always say, start out, don't touch your phone for the first half hour. Get in with the Lord. Get your mind focused. Get your vision clear. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. As the musicians come, we'll read the rest. Who can understand his errors? Again, that's that gray area right there. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Again, this is that unclear, that gray area, right? Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Can we just play Psalms 19 again? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, again, as we were seeing how that vanity is that emptiness, that gray area mixed, that actions, thoughts and actions that are improper for improper use. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What we think about, we act upon. Lord, help us to walk away from vanity, the green unclear, and to his thoughts and doing his will. Let's just pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father, for your will in our lives, Father, and how that you, it's so simple, Lord. Thank you that it's simple, that if we're walking in the light as you are in the light, we have fellowship. are with you, Lord. We're hearing from lip to ear, Father. And sometimes it's the gray matter between our ears that are hearing you, Lord, that starts thinking, taking our thoughts, taking the devil's thoughts, and getting stuck in our own vain imaginations and how we, our own best ideas that tempt us, Lord, and get us in only our that seem right, but there are the ways of death, Lord. We just ask, Father, that we would hear and do and obey you, Lord. Would you give us the power to do that, Lord, we pray. Lord, we commit each one here tonight. I know it's late, Lord, and people are tired. I'm tired. But yet, Father, we're just so excited, Lord, to be a part of your will and your kingdom, Lord. That's what we're here to do and to be, Lord. As we go to bed tonight, Lord, as we turn in, Lord, as we wake up in the morning renewed, Lord, that you have given us the power to will and to do of your good pleasure, Lord. Lord, we just ask, Father, that for a blessing for each one tonight, Lord, that you just give them that clear vision, Father, for what your will is for them tomorrow, Lord, that they may not stumble in the fog of the vanity of their mind, Lord, or into darkness, Father, but to walk in your light as you are in the light. We thank you now. Bless each one in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's just all stand. Can we sing Psalms 19? Is it in the songbook? Or is it in the handout? Bless you each one. You're dismissed. Are they then gold? Yea, then my